Gospel of John, chapter 6. And I would like to consider the words of verses 8 and 9 tonight. Verses 8 and 9. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, There is a lad here, which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. But what are they among so many? Thus far we have considered some of the events that took place leading up to the miracle known as the feeding of the 5,000. We have considered the Lord and the problem. The problem that faced the disciples. How this great multitude of people were to be fed so late in the day. They'd been with the Lord all day. They were weary. And the only answer the disciples had for the situation was, send them home. Just send them away. And how to feed such a multitude of people in the desert place, as I said, so late in the day, was a problem in the eyes of the disciples, but certainly not in the eyes of the Lord. For we have already read those words in verse 6. He himself knew what he would do. And how thankful we are that our dear Lord always knows what to do. What may take us by surprise never catches the Lord off guard, as it were. When we first see the problem, the Lord already has a solution. We have a wonderful example that here in the feeding of the 5,000 men besides women and children. For when the disciples didn't know what to do, the Lord knew what he would do. Notice the wording. But he himself knew what he would do. He himself. In other words, Christ alone knew what to do. The answer was hidden from the eyes of his disciples. And how often that's the way that it is. We cannot see the remedy. It is hidden from our view. So we must leave it all with the Lord, because we've just read, he himself, he alone, knew what he would do. We can take comfort in this. We have our problem. We can't see a way out of it, or we can't see an answer to it. But the Lord already has the answer. The Lord is the answer. The Lord can remedy the situation. Even though it's hidden from us, the Lord knows. As I pointed out before, there are a number of things we must take note of surrounding this great miracle. So regarding the Lord and the provision. That's our second point. The Lord and the provision. We notice, first of all, the laborer. The laborer. When I say the laborer, I am referring to Andrew. Because that's what he was. He was, of course, one of the Lord's disciples. And we must take note of what he was doing when the Lord chose him and called him. Let's go to Matthew chapter 4. And there in Matthew 4, we read verse 18. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew, his brother. What were they doing? casting a net into the sea, for they are. And he, the Lord Jesus, saith unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. I called Andrew the laborer, because you look at these verses we have just read in Matthew, and we find Andrew the worker. He's working. He's casting a net into the sea because he was a fisherman. And you see, that's the type of people whom the Lord will always choose to serve him. Men and women who are workers. Go with me to the book of Judges. There in Judges, in chapter 6, we have a man chosen by the Lord to be a deliverer in Israel. And here in Judges 6 and verse 11, and there came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak which was in Ophrah that pertained unto Joash the Abizite, and his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him, unto Gideon, and said unto him, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all his miracles, which our fathers told us of, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hand of the Midianites. And the Lord looked upon him and said, go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? So the Lord chose Gideon to deliver in Israel. But we notice who he chose. He chose a working man. Because there we read that Gideon threshed wheat by the wine press. He was a worker. What was Elisha doing when the Lord called him? We are told in 1 Kings 19, verse 19, he was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen. See, the Lord calls workers. Men and indeed women who are workers. And now it's not the first time that a man who perhaps can't hold down a job because he's lazy has said, oh, I think I'll go into the ministry. Well, that's not going to happen. He may go into the ministry, but he's not called. He'll not be called in the ministry based upon what the Lord himself has said. What did he say to his disciples? Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers, workers, into his harvest. Matthew 9, verse 38. See, the Lord does the sending forth. And who does he send? He sends laborers. Just as Paul said, 1 Corinthians 3, verse 9, we are laborers together with God. Laborers. Andrew was a laborer before and after the Lord chose him and called him to be a fisher of men. And here this laborer is being used by the Lord in the working of this great miracle of feeding the 5,000. He's involved in this work, in this great miracle. Regarding the laborer, we notice Andrew the worker, and Andrew and his willingness. We look again at Matthew 4, and we read there in verse 18 once more, and Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. There's Andrew's willingness. His willingness to go. When the Lord called him, he was willing to go. And when we consider his willingness, we cannot help but take note, first of all, of his sacrifice. Because we read, he, along with Simon Peter, left his nets. There's a sacrifice. That was his living. That's how he made his living. He left the nets because the Lord had called him. That was a sacrifice. And whenever it comes to serving the Lord, that always involves sacrifice. Always involves sacrifice. I think of a young couple. And they're going out to Uganda. Young man Miller. And he's taking his new wife out to Uganda to serve the Lord there. Knowing from the testimony of some brethren in the past few weeks what it's like in Uganda, I tell you, that's quite a sacrifice. Leaving the comforts of home, leaving companions, leaving friends and loved ones and family, and the two young people going out there to Uganda, that's a sacrifice. And we need to pray for them. Mr. and Mrs. Miller, you call them. Just a young couple. As well as his sacrifice, we see also his surrender. We read that the Lord said, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. There's their surrender. Followed him. No longer was following his own ways, and his own plans, and his own purposes. No, he sacrificed all, and he surrendered all to the Lord. He followed him. That's the kind of person Andrew was. And then there's also his swiftness. Because we read them, the Lord called them, it says in verse 20, and they straightway left their nets. No hesitation. When the Lord called, Andrew answered, and answered with his feet, and he answered with his heart. Straightway. No arguments. No balking at the call of God. Had he not answered the call, he would have missed so much, including being part of this glorious miracle. He played his part in it. When the Lord calls, we cannot afford to turn a deaf ear to that call and to that voice. So when the Lord calls, need to respond and go through with God our vows to pay. And all upon the altar lay. The Holy Ghost will do the rest and give to thee God's very best. God's very best. Andrew certainly did not miss out on God's very best, being such a willing worker and going immediately, straightway. He sacrificed, he surrendered, and there was his swiftness. As well as Andrew the worker, and Andrew and his willingness, there is something else about this laborer. We have Andrew the winner. He's a winner. When the Lord chose and called Andrew that day by the seaside, he said to him, follow me. And I will make you fishers of men. Or as Mark, in his account, puts it, and Jesus said unto them, come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. See, it's only the Lord can make a fisher of men. It's what the Lord does. The Lord is expert in all that he does. And he made Andrew a fisher of men. That's exactly what he became. A fisher of men, or a soul winner. And in many ways, Andrew's not only, do we not only see him as a soul winner, we see Andrew as a personal worker. A personal worker. Being a winner of souls is to be used to lead men and women to Christ, and that's what Andrew was used for by the Lord. Indeed, on three separate occasions, do we read of Andrew bringing others to Christ. We see, first of all, he led his brother to Christ. When Andrew came to believe that Christ was indeed the promised Messiah, he wasted no time in telling his brother Simon Peter, and indeed he brought him to Christ. Turn, please, to John chapter 1. There in John 1, we read about the personal work of Andrew. John chapter 1 and verse 40. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. Mark the words. He, that is Andrew, he first findeth his own brother Simon, and saith unto him, We have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted. Mark the words next. Which is being interpreted to Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. He brought him to the Lord Jesus. That's what he did. Now there are a few things I want to notice about that. About how he brought his brother to Christ. What strikes me about this is his haste. His haste. Upon his believing that this stranger of Galilee was indeed the Christ, we read, he first findeth his own brother. He first. Upon coming to know Christ as indeed the Messiah, we read here about the first thing that Andrew did. First thing he did was to find his own brother, Simon. In other words, he began immediately witnessing for the Lord. It is sad if someone has been a believer for some time, maybe for years, yet have never witnessed for the Lord. That's a sad state of affairs. They've never told anyone that they know the Lord, that they love the Lord. They've never told anyone, I have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ. I have found Christ, or Christ has found me. They have spent many years in silence without speaking a word. For the Lord. That was not Andrew. When Andrew knew who Christ was, he first findeth his own brother Simon. There's his haste. Something else. We notice his home. We see that he became a fisher of men at home first. Isn't that where the Lord expects us to begin? At home first. That's what the Lord told his disciples in preparation for the day of Pentecost. He said that they would be filled with the Holy Ghost. And ye shall receive power. What? To be witnesses unto me. Where? Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. The Lord didn't mention the uttermost parts of the earth until the end. First place he mentioned was Jerusalem. Jerusalem to the disciples was home. And the Lord told his disciples, I want you as the disciples of mine, I want you to begin at home first. You start in Jerusalem. And Jerusalem was the difficult place. Is it always difficult to witness at home amongst the people that we know? Some would rather go to the uttermost parts of the earth to witness. But the Lord expects us to begin at home first. That's where Andrew began, at home, speaking and witnessing to his own brother. Turn, please, to Mark chapter 5. Here's another example of where the Lord expects us to witness for him. Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5 deals with the Lord delivering a man that we only know as Legion. And we read in verse 18, Mark 5, verse 18, and when he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. So the Lord's in the ship, and Legion wanted to go with the Lord. Wherever the Lord was going. But look at what the Lord said in verse 19. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not. See, not everyone, not every Christian is called to be a missionary. As we understand the word mission, we can be missionaries at home. But not every believer is called to be a missionary in some far off land. And so we read here, howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, go home to thy friends. Go home. That's where you witness. Go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord had done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. And he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. That was his mission field. His mission field was found there at home. That's where Andrew began. Andrew began at home. Not only did Andrew lead his brother to Christ, but he also led the burdened to Christ. When I say the burdened, I mean those who had a burden to see the Lord. Go over to John chapter 12. John chapter 12. And there we read in verse 20. And there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. The same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, mark carefully the words, desired him, saying, Sir, we would see Jesus. That was their burden. They wanted to see Christ. Now look at what happened next. Philip cometh and telleth Andrew. And again Andrew and Philip tell Jesus. So here we have these Greeks. And they've come up to worship. And they come to Philip. And they say to Philip, Sir, we would see Jesus. That was their burden. They wanted to see the Lord. But do you notice who Philip turned to? In order to bring these Greeks to see the Lord. Didn't turn to John or to Peter, but he turned to Andrew. Turned to Andrew, and Andrew was the one that introduced these Greeks to the Lord. Something very important there. Whenever a soul expresses a desire to come to Christ, to know Christ, may we know how to lead them to Christ. Wouldn't it be a shame if we were asked to lead a soul to the Savior and we didn't know how, and we had to bring them to somebody else? I'm not saying Philip didn't know how to bring them to Christ, but the thought is there that Philip turned to Andrew. Why Andrew? Turned to Andrew, and Andrew was the one who introduced them to the Lord. Andrew certainly knew what to do. He was a true fisher of men. So we see that Andrew first of all led his brother to Christ, then led the burdened to Christ. And sometimes we will meet with those who are burdened, all right, and they're burdened about their sin. We need to know how to lead them to Christ. So Andrew led his brother to Christ. Then we read he led the burden to Christ. And now we see that he led the boy to Christ. Isn't it interesting that of all the disciples, Andrew was the one who brought this young lad Savior. Andrew said to the Lord, there is a lad here. He's right here. And here is Andrew going to the Lord to tell the Lord, there's a lad here. And here's Andrew leading a lad to Christ. He's led his brother to Christ. He's led the burden to Christ. Now he leads this boy to Christ. See? He is for us the picture of the personal worker. You don't really read of Andrew preaching to thousands and leading thousands to the Lord like Peter on the day of Pentecost. But there was still a work for Andrew to do. And once again, we can apply that to ourselves. We may not be preachers. We may not be missionaries. We may not be called to go to far off lands, but there's one thing we can be. We can be an Andrew. We can be a personal worker. We can speak a word in season to those who are oppressed. We can speak a word in season to those who need the Lord. A personal worker. Sowing the seed. Wherever we go. Handing out a gospel tract. Speaking to some soul about the Lord. And here is Andrew. Led his brother to Christ. Led the burden to Christ. And led the boy to Christ. Another lesson here. We ought not to despise the leading of children to the Lord. Many great ministers, many great missionaries were saved as children. Our late moderator, Dr. Paisley, was saved as a 5-year-old boy. His mother led him to Christ. And as a 5-year-old, when his mother led him to Christ, I'm sure his mother had no idea how the Lord would use her son later in life. And when the Lord saves a child, saves that child in Sabbath school or day school, saves them as a 5 or 6 or 7 year old, who knows what the Lord has in store for that young boy or that young girl later in life. They can become great workers for the Lord. They can become missionaries. They can become ministers. And that event of leading a child to Christ, that child can be used of God to lead multitudes to Christ later in life. We despise not the day of small things. Small beginning, but still a soul. And here we have this boy whom Andrew brought to the Lord. There is a lad here, the Lord said. How was the young lad used? He was involved in feeding a multitude. A young lad used in feeding a multitude? That's exactly what we've been saying. We can lead a child to Christ, and that child, when grow up to be an adult, can be used of God to reach and to see multitudes saved to the glory of God. We have Andrew, regarding Andrew the laborer, we have seen him as a worker. We have seen him and his willingness. We looked at him and seen him as a winner of souls. But then, we must notice Andrew and his weakness. Let us remember something we have said before, that the best of men are only men at best. And we see it here in Andrew. After bringing this lad to Christ with his 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, look what Andrew said next. But what are they? Among so many. Is there not a weakness there? What are they among so many? The weakness is seen in Andrew's lack of trust, his lack of faith, his lack of belief about what the Lord could do with five barley loaves and two fishes. After all, we have read in verse 2 of chapter 6 of John, and great multitudes followed him because they saw his miracles, which he did on them that were diseased. Well, Andrew had witnessed the Lord working miracles. Could he not work a miracle here? He told the Lord about the lad with the five barley loaves and the two fishes, and then he said, what are these among so many? Oh, Andrew, the Lord can work miracles using very, very little. And here was Andrew, and it was his lack of belief and his lack of faith and his lack of trust. Did he not believe? Had he not read the Psalms? In Psalm 78, where we read about the Lord able to furnish a table in the wilderness. Furnish a table in the wilderness. Furnish it with food in the wilderness. Had he not heard or read in the books of Moses about how the Lord miraculously fed the children of Israel in the wilderness for 40 years? And surely he knew that with God all things are possible. With God. And that day, Andrew was with God, God incarnate. The Lord Jesus stood there before Andrew, and he stood there as God manifest in flesh. And with God, all things are possible. So when Andrew led that lad to the Lord, and the lad gave the Lord those five barley loaves and two fishes, God was going to do the impossible, which was impossible in the eyes of men. Considering Andrew, he did a great work. Andrew was the worker. He was a worker. When the Lord chose him and called him, he was a worker after the Lord called him. We've seen his willingness to leave all and follow Christ. He was a winner in the number of people that he led to the Lord. He was a personal worker. And then we noted his weakness. Here is Andrew. And he says, what are these among so many? Ah, but the Lord, as we will see next time, what the Lord did with those loaves and fishes. We'll look tonight at the laborer. Next time, I want to look at the lad. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts tonight and make us like Andrew. Make us personal workers. He'll be used to lead individuals to Christ. Let us pray. And our God, for these great examples, this example of Andrew, how he was that worker, and he was willing, and he was a winner, leading individuals to Lord, give us that joy. Give us the soul winner's joy. Jesus is the soul of an adult. More valuable than all the silver and the gold in the world. O Lord, make us all soul winners. Write thy word upon our hearts tonight. As we have learned something about Andrew, make us all Andrews, we pray. Bless us, Lord, throughout this week. Keep us safe. Now and until Amen.